Okay, so this next talk is going to be about machine learning for muggles. So machine learning's all around us. We use machine learning almost every day. In any time we interact with websites, so whenever we go shopping on Amazon, it's always recommending things to us. Machine learning is the thing that sits behind that. When we're looking at programs on Netflix and it says, these are the, if you watch this, you'd like this, machine learning is the thing that sits behind that. When we do a search using Google or Bing, it's full of machine learning algorithms to figure out what the right search results will show us. So it's all around us. And it's becoming a very popular thing these days. It's something that's quite important at the moment, and a lot of people are talking about it. But it can be quite a sort of dark art. Machine learning is often associated with boffins. This is a boffin. A person engaged in scientific or technical research, a person with knowledge or skill considered to be complex or arcane, a computer boffin. So machine learning is one of these technologies or one of these disciplines that's very scientific, very academic, and it's true. The people behind machine learning, these boffins, do these kinds of things. They use these words, things like a Bayesian network, a genetic algorithm, a sparse dictionary learning. These are all academically proven mathematical algorithms that sit behind machine learning. And this diagram here, this is something to do with machine learning as well. I don't know what this diagram means. I have no clue. But apparently the data scientists, the boffins that sit behind machine learning, do understand this, and it's very important into how machine learning works. We have boffins at Microsoft and we keep them in Cambridge. Most of the machine learning stuff that comes out of Microsoft, the Azure Machine Learning Service and the Cognitive Services, all come out of there. A lot of it comes out of the Cambridge offices, and they have this beautiful custom-built office right in the middle of Cambridge there. The office itself has this artwork adorning the walls. So this again has some scientific meaning. I don't know what it is, but I know that it wouldn't be there if it didn't have some scientific meaning and some scientific underpinning message there. In the office there, they have a grand piano in the foyer of the office, which was donated by Professor Andrew Blake when he retired. In our office in Reading, we have an Xbox. So it just goes to show the kind of people that do machine learning, kind of people that work in this industry. However, I'm here to say that machine learning is for muggles too. So you don't have to be a boffin, you don't have to understand data science and those algorithms in order to make the most out of machine learning. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next half an hour or so. So we're going to talk about three things. Firstly, we're going to look at machine learning as a whole. So the high-level idea behind machine learning. We're going to look at the Microsoft Azure machine learning service and how that works. We're then going to look at cognitive services, which is a set of APIs and services that are built on top of machine learning, which allow you to integrate some of the benefits of machine learning into your applications without necessarily needing to understand the science behind it. And then we're going to look at using machine cognitive services in a few different applications and websites. So what is machine learning? A high level concept, what is machine learning? Well, it's machine learning can find patterns in data, and it can allow applications to gain insights in new data using those patterns. So really, machine learning is about anywhere where you can find patterns in data. So fraud detection is a good example, where if you've got 100,000 credit card transactions and you can identify the 500 of those that are fraudulent, You can tell machine learning processes that, and it will find the patterns in those 500 that make them fraudulent transactions. And then when you've got a new credit card transaction, you can test it against that model, and it will be able to say how likely it is, based on those patterns, to be a fraudulent credit card transaction. That's kind of like the classic machine learning use case. Recommendations is another one. If you've got a product inventory of a 1,000 SKUs, And you've got data which shows in these 100 orders, these are the SKUs that were sold together. The machine learning algorithms can find the patterns between those connections, and it can then come with recommendations based on those patterns for new orders. So when somebody adds one of those SKUs to their shopping cart, it can say, have you thought about looking at this SKU as well, and this one and this one? So really, it's any scenario where a pattern can be recognized in data. So data is very important. The more data you have, the quality of your data is very important. That it can recognize patterns in that data and let you test new data against those patterns. So this is the machine learning process. So if you're a data scientist, and that's the term used to describe people in the IT industry that work with machine learning at the sort of deep level. This is the process that any machine learning application goes through. This isn't necessarily to do with Azure specifically, this is just a process that applies to any machine learning application. So it starts off with some data, and it can be multiple data sets. It doesn't have to be one single data set. And also a question of what you're trying to find out. So if we take the example of credit card transactions, we might have 100,000 credit card transactions, and we might have data about which ones were fraudulent. And we might have a question, find a pattern that allows us to predict fraudulent transactions. So you pass that data and that question into the data pre-processing stage. So this is where we basically clean the data up. So make sure we've removed duplicates, make sure all the fields are populated, make sure the data is as high quality as it can be. And there are generally various modules that you can use to help you do this. This is the software that can help you do this. But you iterate around that process until you're happy that you've got what we call a set of prepared data. So this is data that's been prepared, ready to apply machine learning algorithms to. So the next step is to choose one or more machine learning algorithms. So those words that we saw at the start, the Bayesian networks and so on, these are academically proven machine learning algorithms. So the algorithms themselves are not something that's necessarily owned by a product, by a company, sorry. They are mathematical equations that are proven and academically accepted, much like in medicine and science. So they're available for any company to use and implement into their technology. So you would choose one or more of these algorithms, and this is where the knowledge of those algorithms and the understanding of how they work is really important. That's where data scientists really start to get involved. But you choose one or more algorithms that give you what you think is the best result. So you iterate through that process until you end up with what's called the candidate model. And then you choose the model, and then your application uses the model. So the model is the thing that the application interfaces with in order to get the data back. So in this case of credit card transactions, you find out, you find out, process the data, choose the right algorithms, come up with a model, and then your application can say, is this credit card transaction fraudulent? And it can use that model to predict how likely that is to be. Another thing about machine learning is it's not necessarily going to give you a yes or no answer. It's going to give you a likelihood. So in the case of credit card transactions, it's going to give you a score between 1 and 100 typically about how likely that is to be a fraudulent transaction based on the patterns. You won't get any definite answers really with machine learning. It's always a likelihood scenario. So how does this fit into Azure and Microsoft? So in Azure, we have a service called the Machine Learning Service, the Azure Machine Learning Service. And it allows you to do some of this stuff. So it gives you those data pre-processing modules. It allows you to clean the data up. Just a piece of software you can say, insert this data here, and it will pre-process that and clean the data up for you. It gives you those algorithms in software format. So you can pick and choose the algorithms that you want to use. And it gives you the model in the format of a REST API. So when you've chosen your model and done your, they're called experiments, you can expose that as a REST API for your applications to use. It also gives you this thing called the Azure Machine Learning Studio, which is a web-based interface that allows you to do all of this stuff. So this is it's kind of like an IDE for machine learning. This is the thing that you use. You just drag and drop the processing modules, the experiment, the algorithms in, and it will construct all of this stuff for you and actually execute that and do the number crunching up in the cloud there. So this is what Azure gives you. And the way this maps onto the machine learning process is it's data processing modules, it's the machine learning algorithms, it's the API that exposes the model as a REST API, and underpinning all of that, you've got the Azure Machine Learning Studio, which is the interface that you use to design all this stuff. But I don't know about you, but that still seems like it's a bit for boffins for me. So you kind of need to be a data scientist to use the Azure Machine Learning. It does make it very easy, but you still need to understand the principles and the underlying processes around machine learning. And what happens if you're just a developer, you're just a web developer, you just want to use this stuff in your application? You know that a recommendations engine is going to make your application better, but you don't want to have to go and design that stuff yourself. So this is where Microsoft Cognitive Services comes into it. So Microsoft Cognitive Services is a set of APIs, 21 APIs at the last count, that lets you expose some of this machine learning goodness into your application. So it's really about adding smarts to your app. It's they're all based on the machine learning backend. Like I say, they're simple REST APIs, so you can access them using any technology, any program language, any device. And they're either free or cheap. So most of them have a free tier where you can get a certain number of transactions per month. So one of them, for example, is the Text Analytics API, which is sentiment analysis in text. You get 5,000 transactions a month for that. And then if you want to use it beyond that, you have to pay for it. But they're not particularly expensive in the grand scheme of things. If you're using this for a real-world production application, the costs are fairly minimal. And they do vary by API. So this is the full list of APIs at last count, and they're broadly split into five categories. So we've got the vision family of APIs, which is all to do with doing things with images. So identifying things in images, looking at emotions, looking at faces, looking at videos. It's all about computer vision and image processing. We've got the speech APIs, which is all about speech and recognizing speech, translating speech. Language, which is about linguistic and analytics, text analytics, spell check, that kind of thing. Knowledge, which is where the recommendations engine comes. It's all about linking entities with each other and exploring data. And then you've got the set of search APIs, which is really the Bing APIs, where you've got image search, news, video, web search, etc. So this is all collectively referred to as the Microsoft Cognitive Services. So now we're going to take a quick look at some of these services in action and see exactly how they work. So we'll start off. This is the website. You can go to the website. It's microsoft.com/cognitive services, and you can click into the menu here and see all of the APIs that are available to us here. So you can see the whole list that we just saw. I'm going to look at the emotion API initially. So this is an API that will take an image, and it will an image of a human face. It will analyze that image for emotions and give you a set of results based on the emotions that are shown in that picture. So I've got a picture that I want to use here. So I've got a daughter here called Madison. Now, Madison's 4 years old, and I think this is quite an interesting photo of her. So I'm not really sure as a father whether what's going on in her head here. I don't know whether she's happy or sad. I know it's an interesting photo, but I'm not quite sure what the emotions are. So luckily, Cognitive Services is here to help. So if I just upload this photo to this website here, it's going to analyze the photo and tell me what the results are there. And what we can see here, it's identified the Madison's face, and you get the face rectangle to show the bounds of the face. And if we look at the scores there, we can see that the overriding emotion here at 62% is contempt. Secondary to that is disgust at 20%, and then 9% of anger, and a few of the other emotions as well. But primarily, contempt, disgust, and anger is what's being shown here on the young, sweet Madison's face. And in case you're wondering, this is what a three-year-old looks like when the father tells her, "No more chocolate, Madison, you've had enough today." That's what happens. So machine learning helping me to be a better parent there, which is obviously a very good thing. Now, the other thing that I wanted to show you was this website called Twins or Not. So there's a couple of websites like this. These are websites that Microsoft have built based on these Cognitive Services APIs. So this particular one is based on the Face API. And we're going to look at this and just see how this works. So I've been told by a few people that I bear a resemblance to Jake Gyllenhaal. So I've got a picture of me here. This is what I called Fake Jake. And some people say I look a bit like Jake Gyllenhaal, which I'm going to take as a real compliment. But let's see if machine learning thinks that that is the case. So I'm going to start off by uploading that picture to the website. And then I'm going to upload the picture of Jake Gyllenhaal, the American actor. There he is. There's Jake. And we'll see whether we're twins or not. Now, it's given us an 87% match there. So, you know, I absolutely didn't dress up and try and pose exactly like Jake. I didn't do my hair like Jake's hair. I didn't try and grow some stubble like Jake's got, and I didn't try and wear the same clothes to try and make this a match. I promise you that. But it's given us an 87%. And just in case you think that's a fluke, I'll upload another picture of me and compare it to Jake. And this one comes back as actually 90%. So it's not looking at the kind of the pose or the background lighting or anything like that. It's looking at the facial structure, the facial features, and trying to identify how similar we are. So it's scientifically proven. I do look a little bit like Jake Gyllenhaal, and I'm really happy with that. and I'm feeling quite good about myself. But let's go on to another website called howold.net. And this one is a similar thing. It uses the Face API again, but it assesses how old somebody looks. So let's upload a photo of me and just see how old I am. So I'm 36, I'm very nearly 37. But look at that, it's given me a score of 42 years old, which isn't great. So I look 5 years older than I actually am. And the bad thing is this photo was taken about a year ago as well, so it's actually 6 years older. It has identified me as a male, but apart from that, it's not looking good. So that's brought me back down to earth a little bit. But just to be fair, let's try and see whether Jake looks his age as well. So Jake is actually the same age as me. He's about 6 months younger, but he's basically the same age, 37 years old. And look at that, 43. So Jake looks even older than I do. So that's made me feel quite good about myself again, and I'm quite happy about that. So that's a quick tour around some of the cognitive services and some of the websites that are built on top of cognitive services. So just in case you're wondering there, you know, that's the summary of Madison's score there. There's 68% contempt, 10% anger, and 22% disgust. So let's just have a little look and see what Madison herself thinks about this.
Be a better parent with my cognitive service.
There we go. Madison, bless her, thinks that you can be a better parent if you use Microsoft Cognitive Services. What an advertising slogan that is. Okay, next thing, we want to look at actually building something with these services. So we're going to look at an application that we've built using Cognitive Services and just see how that works and how the code works for that. So we've got an application here called howhappy.co.uk. So this is a live website that I built myself. You can go on and use this yourself. And what it will do is it will use the Emotion API to assess who's the happiest person in a picture. So I've got another interesting picture here. This is some fans at a Justin Bieber concert. There's a whole range of emotions going on here. So let's upload this and see what the scores are and who's looking the happiest and who's looking the saddest. So we can just upload the picture. It's going to analyze that. So at the moment, this is set to happy. So we can see the happiest person is this young lady in the corner here. So she's 96% happy, a little bit surprised, but 96% happy, which is a really good result. That's what you expect. This young lady here in the middle, she's also very happy. And then weirdly, the third happiest person is the dad. I can only presume it's a dad at least, just behind there. He's quite neutral, but he's quite happy. Now this dad here is expressing all sorts of different emotions. Number five is a security guard, and weirdly the sixth happiest person, the least happy person in this photo, is this young lady in the foreground here, and she's only expressing a tiny bit of happiness and is actually quite surprised. And let's just look at this. We can look at all the different emotions here. So let's look at surprised, and we'll see that she's actually number one in terms of surprise, 61% surprised. I don't know what Justin Bieber's doing on stage here, but he's obviously doing something quite surprising. I want to see where this guy sits. So let's have a look at disgusted. This guy, the dad, I presume it's a dad again, is the number one in the disgusted chart. So he's obviously not happy to be there. He's there looking after his daughter. Good dad, but he's obviously disgusted at what's going on. He's quite pained by what he's hearing there. Contempt, he's also quite contemptuous. And we've got all sorts of different things. So the security guard's the most neutral guy there. He's just thinking, yeah, I've seen this before. I'm just neutral about this, I don't care what's going on. So this is the website. You can go and have a look at this yourself, have a play with it, see how it works. What I want to do now is actually debug this website and actually see how it works in terms of the code. So it's actually written in ASP.NET Core, Release Candidate 2. It's MVC. It didn't need to be this. It could have been an Angular app. It could have been PHP. It doesn't really matter. It's just ASP.NET is what I... No, so that's what I wrote it in. And it's very, very simple. We just have a home controller here. And when the request comes in, we basically go to this function called getEmotionData. And what that does is it does a HTTP call up to the API and returns that as JSON. And then we use that JSON and do getFaces, which is what turns that into face data. And then there's some JavaScript stuff that looks after the UI side of it, but we're not too interested in that. So let's actually run this and just step through this process and see how it works. So I'm going to run this application now. It's going to load in my browser. Okay, there we go. We're going to upload that same photo. And let's just step through the process here. So it's hit that first breakpoint. So this is get emotion data. So what I've done is I've passed in an iForm file. This is a new thing in ASP.NET Core for passing files around. It seems to be the way that you submit files from a form. So you can see, if I expand that out, you can see that I've got the JPEG file there and the length and all that kind of stuff. I can get the binary data from that file. And now we can just step through the process. So we're going to do a HTTP request. So I'm just going to add another breakpoint in here and here. So let's continue through that. So that's this is now going to make the request. So I've constructed this content object, which has my file in there. I've added the octet stream header type, and I've added my API key as well. So all this is very well documented on the Cognitive Services API reference. If we just continue again, that's going to go off and make the call. So it's giving me this response message. So let's just explore this a little bit. I'm just going to add a watch on this so we can explore this in a bit more detail. So what it's done here is it's given me a status code of okay, which is great. So it's given me the 200 okay response. I'm just going to zoom in so you can see that there. And it's also attached some content as well, which I can construct some JSON content that I can make some kind of sense out of. And what I'm going to do now, put another breakpoint in there, just continue on. And I've got that response string as well. So if I look at in the JSON visualizer, this is basically some JSON. So for each face that was recognized, it's given me the face rectangle, the height, left, top, and width, so that I can identify the face on the image. And it's also given me a score for each of the emotions. So that's coming back as kind of raw JSON. Like if we look at that as text instead, we'll see that that's just basically a JSON document that gets returned back. So what I need to do now, having got that response string, is I want to then go and look at constructing that JSON as faces. So this method takes the JSON as an input parameter. And if we just put another breakpoint in there and continue on, it's going to loop around the response array. So this is the array of JSON documents. And for each one, it's going to deserialize it to a face object. So this is my .NET object. And it's going to give me a face with the scores and the rectangles on there. And I'm going to add that to a list of faces, basically. And that's effectively what my application does, is it goes off it to the API, gets the JSON back, constructs a list of faces, and then has some stuff on the front end that actually represents that. So I'm going to just let that run. I'll take this breakpoint out. Oh, there's no always in file, brilliant. Okay, so let's try that again. I think maybe I just took too long about that. All right, so I'm gonna just let all these breakpoints go now. Delete all breakpoints. And there we go, that's done the same thing there. So there's some stuff on the front end in terms of JavaScript, but we don't need to go into detail, and it's all open source. Go to my GitHub and search for How Happy Web, and you'll find the repo for this on there. So that's building with Cognitive Services. So we've covered quite a lot of stuff there. You can contact me at Martin Kern. You can go to my email, martinkern@microsoft.com, and you can have a look at my website, which I've got a load of stuff there about cognitive services and what's going on there. But we've basically looked at machine learning as a whole, the Azure Machine Learning Service, the kind of tools that we give you for that, and then these 21 Cognitive Services APIs and how easy they are to actually work with in real-world applications. Thank you very much.